I don't have a separate camera or anything. I just thought, you know what? I thought, listen, you know what's massively underrated? The EyeSight camera on a Macintosh laptop computer.
Yeah.
It is underrated, and I will stand by that. And so I thought, why use an external camera for today's when the EyeSight camera is so good? So
I think that's what Diddy said when he was rigging up all the cameras in his house.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is a bunch of MacBooks left everywhere.
Yeah.
with photo booth open. Yeah.
Is that
camera filming us? No.
It's just the EyeSight camera. It's nice to have a reflection.
What's up, guys? This is the TMT Podcast. This is today's free episode. If you want this episode ad-free and an extra bonus episode, you can find that right now on our website. TMTSPNLs.TV. Sign up for a membership now at TMTSPNLs.TV. And if not, then enjoy this one.
The mystery of the flying saucers may soon be solved.
If you've ever smoked weed at literal Woodstock, you're not a stoner. Goodbye.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
I'm gay as fuck.
I'm gonna get my honor season.
The so-called flying saucers.
Look at all these fucking chickens.
Malone Brown, you hear this hole? No. Malone Brown dick in your mouth?
Please look at all the signs, fasten your seatbelt, and get ready for debate.
What's new, man? It's nice to be back on the body.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you look good, man. You look like you've been lifting.
Thanks, dude.
You look taller.
Yeah, no, I have been.
You look taller.
Yeah. No, thank you. I appreciate it. I've been growing.
Did you invest in so that this thing would have sambas?
Yeah, who put those on there? I was just thinking of those. Those look pretty fucking good.
Who paid to have sambas on Cody's person?
Seriously, I kind of want those. Can I have those? Whose are those?
Dude, you have enough. Leave it.
I only have like two pairs.
Two pairs of sambas? But how many pairs of shoes do you have in life?
Honestly, not that many.
Yeah, that's good, man. No clue.
You remember when I was a little sneakerhead when we were touring?
Yeah, and then you got scammed
a
bunch.
Bought like five fake pairs. Damn, dude. Still embarrassed about that to this day.
Yeah, he scammed me on some a size or whatever the fuck those were.
What did you get?
I don't know. I got a pair of somethings, and I sent them into StockX because I wanted to get rid of them. And they were like, these are fake.
I think the way I found out is, so what were the shoes that I bought again? It was fucking Jesus Christ, brain farting.
You bought those like baby blue fucking Jordan A1s.
Yeah, but what was the brand? It's fucking Virgil's brand. I'm brain farting hard, dude.
Virgil Abloh's fucking shoe brand?
Yeah, dude, the fucking quotes on everything.
Off-White?
Off-White. Oh, my God. I'm stupid. So the shoes that I bought were like the Off-White Nikes.
Yeah.
Like all of them.
Yeah.
And then I think I was one day, I was like, felt, you know, because this was like when we first started touring, making a little bit of money. I'm like, okay, what's something nice I can buy? I'm a sneakerhead now as of like an hour ago. So I'm going to buy these Off-White Nikes, whatever. And I bought like three pairs from this dude off Instagram, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, we were tapped in with somebody.
And then, so I bought and I was wearing them on stage. I was wearing them, you know, like the whole time. And then I watched some YouTube video about like how to spot a fake.
Yeah.
And I was looking at it. I was like, oh man, I feel bad for anyone that has to. And then I was kind of like, wait. And I looked at my shoe and whatever it was that they were like, this is the one indication, the clear one of a fake. It was like a tag or stitching or something like that. And I looked down at mine, had that, and I was like, fuck.
Wow.
And then after that, I started to look and I was like, the shoes were horrible quality.
Yeah.
And it just started to become like clear. I was like, how did I fall for this? They were like falling apart, like so clearly not well made. I was like, so stupid.
Yeah, he laughed all the way to the bank with our money.
Oh yeah. Dude, he probably bought those for $10.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah.
RIP, bro. RIP your wallet. No, RIP that guy. We fucking killed him when we found out he scammed us. We actually...
Yeah. We got the last laugh because he ended up being murdered.
Yeah, we burned his house down.
By us. Yeah.
We killed him and we burned his house down. Then we killed his family and all his cousins.
What'd you say?
We killed his whole extended family, too.
Yeah, we didn't stop with just him. We thought that wasn't enough revenge, so...
Yeah. Then we put his cat in a fish tank full of fucking... flammable liquids, and we just left
it there. We didn't light it on fire. We thought that was cruel.
Yeah. We're like,
so it just drowned. It drowned in lighter fluid.
Yeah. Then we just took some pictures of it, and then we left.
Yeah.
Everyone was laughing until I said the cat. Then I know half the listen. Like, hey,
extended family is one thing.
Leave the cats
alone.
Don't
fuck with the dude's cat. The cat didn't do anything.
Yeah, man. Anyways, dude. Facebook.
Yeah, dude, I love that website. You've been using it?
Yeah.
You just found out about it?
Yeah. Where have I been? There's so much to do.
You will
there.
Not believe it, bro. Imagine you can connect with someone on the opposite side of the world.
Yeah.
Right? Just imagine that for 5 seconds. Imagine being able to post on someone's wall. Imagine that for 5 seconds. Pretty cool, right?
Wow, have you ever thought about connecting with friends and the world around you? You can do that on Facebook.
Can you?
Yeah, they got a marketplace.
Man, it's so refreshing that there's a website where you can connect with the world around you. I feel like that's missing.
Yeah.
There's such a huge gap in the market, and they kind of found it, which is awesome.
So funny thinking about some dude who's been in a cryogenic chamber for like 15 years. Then you introduce him to Facebook and he gets on there and maybe his face is all fucked up from being under sleep or whatever. So he just posts a photo of his odd hairless face. He's like, hi. And then the backlash.
He's looking at the website. He's like, what's a status? And we're like, oh, that's like, how you're feeling or whatever you can post and kind of let everyone know. And he's like, oh. And then like writes a slur and presses enter. And we're like, whoa.
Yeah. No, I was thinking he just goes, hi. And he posts a picture of himself and he doesn't have to do anything. All the comments are like, yo, post this on Reels.
Yeah, Reels will love this.
Yeah, Reels will love this, dude. Hey. And then American flags. Hi. Sexy. Yeah. Wow, this is what they're doing to people now? They're turning them gay?
Why do you bring it up?
I just love that website, man.
It's just awesome. I just want to talk about it.
I just want to like...
Well, at least once every episode.
Facebook. No,
I saw something about them selling data to Netflix or something.
No,
is that what you're talking about?
No, the lawsuit they got because they... Because Mark... basically had them like push that VPN. They basically Meta like owned a VPN and then they were using that VPN to get data on Snapchat. Like just fully illegal. Just fucking, or maybe it's not illegal. I don't know. But
so how does that work?
Oh, can you look this up? Just like look up Facebook, Snapchat.
So they had a VPN. People were using the VPN. And so they were like sniffing the traffic through that other apps were sending.
Yeah. And I think there was like some leaked email where Zuck was basically saying, we can't get data effectively. We should find a way to. He basically comes up with the idea of how to like sniff the snoop on the traffic. And then he ends the email with, you should figure out how to do this.
Okay, so wait. The document includes internal Facebook emails discussing the project. Whenever someone asks a question about Snapchat, the answer is usually that because their traffic is encrypted, we have no analytics about them. Meta chief executive Mark Zuckerberg wrote in an email dated June 9, 2016, which was published as part of the lawsuit.
Given how quickly they're growing, it seems important to figure out a new way to get reliable analytics from them. Perhaps we need to do panels or write custom software. You should figure out how to do this. Yeah, honestly, it's kind of smart.
It's a good mark. No, it is smart.
Is it illegal?
Well, I think what's so funny about this is the struggle. You know that meme? That classic that meme where it's like two buttons
and the guy's sweating. Yeah. And the guy's sweating.
Yeah, like trying to pick between whatever. And like I just know as soon as this came out, it's like Mark Zuckerberg is a bad person and Mark Zuckerberg is based. And I just know that his fans are struggling between this because they're like, oh, fuck. Such a based move, but it is fucked up. But it is based as well.
Hey guys, we want to take a quick break to thank the sponsor of today's episode, SeatGeek. I've been looking to find the best deal on Bad Bunny tickets.
With over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. There are more than 70,000 events every single day on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and more. With artists like Taylor Swift, Billy Joel, Madonna, and Noah Kahan on tour, you don't want to miss out.
That's right. Look at there. App's right there on my phone. Listen, we got Coachella coming up. We got Stagecoach. We got Joe Coy, George Lopez, Shane Gillis.
This Netflix is all on, is a joke.
This
festival.
Is all in the desert, going by the way. Nuts. A lot of comedy going on in the desert, which is sick.
They put all the tickets across the web in one place to make sure you are getting a good deal. Each ticket is rated on a scale of 1 to 10. So look for the green dots. Green means good. Red means bad. Every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee, and SeatGeek is the only site that lets you return your tickets ahead of the event with swaps.
And you know we came through for you guys. Use our code TMG for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek. That's $20 off your first purchase with promo code TMG. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app. Facebook's engineer's solution was to use Onavo, a VPN-like service that Facebook acquired in 2013. In 2019, Facebook shut down Onavo after a TechCrunch investigation revealed that Facebook had been secretly paying teenagers to use Onavo so the company could access all of their web activity. After Zuckerberg's email, the Onavo team took on the project and a month later proposed a solution, so-called kits that can be installed on iOS and Android that intercept traffic for specific subdomains, allowing us
to read what would otherwise be encrypted traffic so we can measure in-app usage.
This is a man-in-the-middle approach.
Yeah, that's what I was blanking earlier, but I'm like, that's all this was. Like, they're basically a guy in an airport sniffing people's like bank traffic.
Just looking at their screen.
Yeah.
that's what they are.
And recording it with their phone.
It's an old creepy guy looking at like teen Snapchat screens.
Yeah.
At the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is... So I don't really understand it technically, because wouldn't the traffic still be encrypted until it reaches the actual app? It gets unencrypted by the app itself. So I don't understand how it does it.
I would imagine that they either have something they're not describing, maybe something. Because if it's man in the middle, at that point, isn't it just a bunch of like encrypted packets, and then you'd have to like decrypt them? Oh,
yeah.
Look. When the
but
network
the app is the actual app, like payload, would have the unencryption key or whatever.
Yeah, but read this. When the network traffic is unencrypted, this type of attack allows hackers to read the data inside, such as usernames, passwords, and so.
Given that Snapchat encrypted the traffic between the app and its servers, this network analysis technique was not going to be effective. This is why Facebook engineers proposed using Onavo, which when activated had the advantage of reading all the device network's traffic before it got encrypted and sent over the internet. Ah.
We now have the capability to measure detailed in-app activity from parsing Snapchat analytics collected from incentivized participants in Onavo's research program.
Yeah, but if these like people opted into using this, then
I think that's the lawsuit.
Like if Facebook's
though.
Paying them? What?
Oh, yeah. Those people, it's paid, right? So, yeah, if they're opted into doing that, then fine. Well, yeah, let's go further. Because did they get strangers?
Inside Facebook, there wasn't a consensus on whether Project Ghostbusters was a good idea. Some employees, including Jay Parikh, Facebook's then head of infrastructure engineering, and Pedro Kanahuti, the then head of security engineering, expressed their concern.
Good argument was, okay, no security person is ever comfortable with this, no matter what consent we get in the general public. The general public just doesn't know how this stuff works. Okay, his email is included in court. I was laughing so hard because I was immediately thinking of someone going, oh yeah, man, I use Onavo. It's how I protect everything. They're just like farming shit out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, nah, man. Yeah, I don't fuck with that NordVPN stuff, dude. I don't. Onavo strictly.
I'm strictly Onavo type of guy, all right? I like to be protected. Ultimate, like, this ultimate protection.
They're just like getting raw text input.
Yeah, yeah. All their passwords, everything.
Yeah, just everything, dude. He's just getting key logs, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
That is really funny.
Entering a stupid password in there. Crayon 12, yeah.
And it's Onavo is sending it directly to Mark's phone. Yeah, like he's getting like SMS text messages with people's passwords.
Oh man. Something, that password sucks ass.
Dude, something even more insecure. Yeah, he gets all data mined over SMS for anyone to snipe, and he just has a burner phone that it's all going to, and he's like, oh no, imagine if I'd lost this.
Crayon 45, what a stupid password. These fucking nobodies.
Mark Zuckerberg's,
these fucking NPCs with their dumb, unsecure passwords. Look at these fucking NPCs.
Look at this fucking small brain password here. I bet you I could tap this guy out. I know I could tap this guy out.
Oh my god. Onavo is strictly for Mark to bully Snapchat users.
Bro, Mark
farming? These fucking normies.
Dude.
They can't even smoke meats, probably.
Damn. Mark just... Sorry, I'm just thinking about him. Like, what else could they farm? Yeah, I guess if it's just text input stuff. Just picture Mark.
Everything.
Mark farming your dick pics and all that. Right back to where he started. Right back to where he started.
Yeah, exactly.
He just can't stop. He just has to rate other people. That's the Asperger's in him. He just has to quantify human behavior. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think what's funny is he can do all this. No, I was just going to say, if all you have to do, like, if you do bad shit, it seems all you have to do to negate that is jujitsu or boxing.
Yeah. And then people are like, he's based.
Yeah. Then you're based.
No, he's fucking based. Yeah. It's so funny. He did a bunch of, he sniffed a whole bunch of people's traffic and, compromised security. That just compromised, like, the idea of online security in general.
Yeah.
Like, this basically, like, renders encryption useless if you're installing, like, a package on people's phones that reads traffic before encryption can even do its thing.
Yeah, it just, in terms of society, like, he completely violates the entire concept of privacy. Yeah, but
he trains with Volk, though.
Oh, well, then, fuck.
Yeah, yeah, no, he trains with Volk, though.
Oh, then it's based.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Just wait, man. Wait for Putin to start bombing shit more. And then people just start posting pictures of him doing judo, and then it's like, yeah, but...
Yeah, in his bunker.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's like a judoka. Like, it's kind of sick. It's kind of sick.
Black belt, though.
Yeah, man.
That's pretty hard. He trains. He trains, like, really hard. Clearly, he's, like, passionate about training. No, speaking of compromising security for the whole internet, did you look into that hack at all, the XZ hack?
The AT&T one?
No.
There was that one, but what hack are you talking about?
This one was all over Twitter.
Mm.
a couple days ago. Mm. This was a guy. So XZ, I guess. Okay, I'm gonna try. This is gonna be two retired programmers trying to talk tech and understand technically what is going on here. All right.
Yep.
And I'll do my best, but I haven't coded in fucking 10 years, so I don't really know what I'm talking about. I tried to understand it best I could, but it's like a bunch of engineers, open source engineers talking about this, and they're, you know, everything's so technical. But basically, there was a library that like everyone installed. You like homebrew it. It's called XZ. It's like a tools library. Everyone uses it, right? And it's maintained by like one person.
That's good.
And basically, this one GitHub account started contributing, started like doing pull requests on this library like 2 years ago. Would do small, like would leave small comments and kind of like socially engineered the main person maintaining it to think that he didn't really have enough time to dedicate to this. And then I guess he started contributing more and more and more. And then I guess eventually he installed a backdoor for him to be able to have SSH access to wherever this was installed, which would essentially be every single Linux machine in the world, which is essentially the internet, because that's what like all servers are basically. Again, I don't know if I'm getting this technically 100% correct, but I think for the most part it is, right? So then an engineer at, I forget where, Facebook or something like that, realized that his commands, his SSH commands or something, were taking 500 milliseconds longer than they normally should.
Which is, I feel like that is enough. I feel like that's enough of a delay if you're like spamming.
I mean, okay, so what is 500 milliseconds? Is that half a second? Or is that half of a tenth of a second?
Yeah,
yeah. Can you figure that out, whoever's on the computer right now?
I guess what I'm thinking about is like when I did shitty like front end stuff.
It is half a second.
Half a second, I feel, is like, that's like a timing that...
That's notable.
That is notable. Like yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, like Twitter was kind of was goofing on this because they were like, oh, the type of autism it would take to realize.
No.
Like you like 10x engineers, this is proof that they exist because only those people would realize a half second of difference. But it's like,
no.
An SSH command, like a terminal command that's supposed to be instant, you would fucking notice if all of a sudden those started taking half of a second longer.
Dude,
that's like eternity.
No, 500 milliseconds is what you use for like a fucking front end, like... When you're creating like a, I don't know, what the fuck do they call it? Like when you're like, you're creating like some type of an alert or like a veil.
Interstitial or something?
No, like a veil. Like you know how like front end shit you would maybe throw up?
Yeah.
Like something over the page and then like
a modal.
Yeah. Just something like hide the page and then like you pull
Dude,
it away.
We're so washed.
We're washed, man. We're washed. We're washed.
What the fuck are you? Fucking user interface. That's what it is.
Yeah.
UI.
Yeah. Can't remember.
Hey guys, we want to take a quick break to thank one of today's sponsors, Rocket Money. Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about 10 subscriptions. I could not believe it when they showed me I was paying for 22 subscriptions each month between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services. It's never ending. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I forgot about.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, you have full control over your subscriptions and a clear view of your expenses. You can see all of your subscriptions in one place, and if you see something you don't want, Rocket Money can help cancel it with a few taps. The dashboard shows this month's spending compared to last month, so you can clearly see your own spending habits.
Plus, they'll help you create a custom budget and keep your spending on track. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with the customer service for you.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TMG. That's rocketmoney.com/TMG. rocketmoney.com/TMG. But yeah, that's like 500 milliseconds. Like, that's the timing you would use to hide an entire web page loading. So yeah, in a terminal.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just, I'd be putting my fist through my computer if it was taking half a second for terminal
through. Shit adds up, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my first thought, is like, I feel like that's a long time. In the world of terminal commands, that would feel like it'd be taking forever, especially if you knew it was supposed to be instant.
Yeah.
So anyway, so this guy basically goes on this crazy investigation and finds this small back door that this person, after 2 years of building trust by contributing to this project, he or she, nobody really knows who it is, they just know the GitHub account, I believe, but that this person installed, and that would have given them access. So you got to think, like, what the fuck would they use that for? Was it someone in the government that just wanted, like, you know, a sort of a master key to everything?
Yeah.
And, like, it's just so much power. It's fucking crazy that it almost worked. I mean, and it also makes you think, like, well, there must be other ones out there.
Yeah.
And other people doing the same thing.
I mean, the amount of, like, I was going to say the amount of tools, like, I don't know, like homebrew and little shit like that people use because they're trying to make their job easier.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so scary to think that now all that stuff, you're just sitting at your computer with who knows what kind of super NDA'd files or whatever the hell. It's like, can someone just tap into this now? Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about it because I use Onavo as my
same
VPN. So I'm like secure and protected. I'm not worried about it. But for other people, I totally understand that that's probably a concern.
I'm thinking of a dumbass joke here of a Facebook guy creating a backdoor and then realizing he might be getting backdoored. He's like, hey, nobody backdoors me.
He backdoors me. I'm the one who backdoors.
I backdoor, not you. Yeah, maybe one of the three-letter agencies got their feelings hurt, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they hit up Apple and they go, we want a backdoor.
And here's Apple another goes, thing. So everyone was like, 500 milliseconds is not a long time. And then they were like, 2 years is such a long time to wait to do a hack like this. And in my mind, I'm like, it's not.
No.
To me, I'm like, all it took was this guy to build trust for 2 years. Like, he was this guy's clearly a working engineer, because a lot of these commits were like out of standard work hours and on weekends. So you got to think he probably has a high paying job.
Yeah.
Right? He's probably relatively happy. His quality of life's probably good. And then he's like, you know, people spend 2 years fucking redoing a car.
Yep.
His hobby was like, I'm on nights and weekends, I'm just going to build some trust so I can hack the world.
Yeah, I mean, dude,
for a worldwide hack, 2 years is nothing.
Yeah, that's a small price to pay to access every fucking Linux machine in the world, bro.
On planet Earth.
This guy must be reading all these tweets just dick up, just smacking his dick in a fucking tub of lotion. I'm the man. I'm the man. Look at these people freaking out. All it took me was 2 years. You see the fucking charisma I have? I have so much riz, I didn't even need to speak to anyone directly. I did it over code comments. Are you joking? I'm the man. My riz is unmatched. This guy rizzed himself into hacking the world. Comment riz.
Yeah, this is pull request riz. That's what this is.
What a charming fucker that after two slashes or between two slashes and two asterisks, he's making feel so, you know what it is, bro? The one person maintaining this is probably so fucking lonely. And this this guy was smart enough to go, I bet this person is just so alone.
I know, dude, it's got to be a little bit humiliating to be that person right now.
Yeah.
Because you can tell, like, I saw one of the tweets that, like, went through, like, basically documented the history of these two, like, commenting back and forth.
They're
to
like,
each other.
No, don't do that.
Watch
don't
this
do
guy,
that.
Like,
don't
you
do
can
that.
Watch this guy, like, erode this dude's confidence. It's like through like kind of like engineering passive aggressive things to say, you know?
Yeah.
Like nothing is too direct and on the nose. It's more like, hey, I mean, if you don't have the time, like I really think that this should be updated for these reasons. So like, and someone should be devoting the time to this. So if it can't be you, then like whatever, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Which already hurts like when you're working in an engineering team, when an engineer that's better than you or a senior engineer makes a little comment about whatever you're writing, feels bad.
Decimates your self-esteem. Decimates, dude. I used to get fucking decimated in code reviews.
Decimated.
Oh, my God. Code reviews were the worst.
That's how you know it was hitting Cody hard. He can only recall it with the word decimated.
Truly, dude.
It's not like I was an embarrassing decimated.
I was. Because they'd always be just like dry fucking. These people are like emotionless engineers, you know, like that just the only thing they care about is the unit tests passing.
Yeah.
So they just leave some offhanded fucking remark like, this is juvenile code. And you're like,
okay.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks. Did a child code this?
You're like,
I'm a fully grown man. This is my career, I guess, but cool.
Whoever wrote this, quick question. Can you explain to me a red tree, black tree real quick? We just want to make sure you're actually a software engineer. Thank you.
Actually a software. And they don't mean that as an insult. They're like literally just, I just would like to know if you're actually a software engineer or not, because if you're not, we need to have you off the team because we're software engineers and we write code. So
see, that's the benefit.
Like,
I had,
I am one.
That's the benefit I had of working, like, I think, in coming in as like a self-taught dude. No one held me to any crazy standard. Like, everyone automatically assumed I was fucking dumb. So I could only ever be impressive. I could only ever surprise people.
Yeah. Everyone's just like, wow.
Yeah.
You deploy something that works.
Yeah. Wow. I remember
I set up
my first engine.
They giving you treats and shit?
Yeah.
Leaving treats at your desk?
I set up my first Nginx like instance and everyone was just like, yay! Yay! Wow, full stack. Wow, you're full stack.
You're full stack guy, aren't you? This week, the engineer of the week this week is Noel.
He's full stack. No, I think what was funny though was I feel like by the end of programming, I actually was learning a lot, and I genuinely had this like fucking. And listen, if you're in the role of what I'm about to say, I have a lot of respect for you. But I felt like my career could only go towards like DevOps, and that scared the absolute shit out of me.
Yeah,
I was like, no, I cannot. I can't be this dude.
Yeah.
I cannot. Because I just feel like I would have had like some I would have developed some stupid desire to prove myself way too hard, and then I think I just would have fell face first. It's like, wow, Noel, amazing! You've taught yourself Linux, Unix, Python, all kinds of stuff. Here at the team, we want to reward you with the role of DevOps. I just never have a fucking life.
Hey, nothing against DevOps people, though.
No, DevOps people make the world go round. I just think, you have to have a different type of grit for that role.
You just wouldn't catch me dead doing that shit.
Oh, you'd catch me dead. You'd catch my fucking brains blown out in the middle of the corporate office. You would catch me dead at that computer, man. No, I think I'm talking shit here. It'd be optimistic to say I would even get to the skill level of DevOps. I feel like you need to be a extremely well-rounded person for that. Anyway.
Yeah. So anyways, I just thought as a past engineer / DevOps guy that you would find this story interesting.
Because yeah, bro.
It really is. And it's oh, by the way, it's still kind of unfolding because people are now like looking for other backdoors and shit. And also people are also kind of like surfacing like how little people usually are maintaining these libraries that like everything and everybody uses. Like, yeah. For example, SQLite, I guess. It's the most popular database structure in the world, right? Like the internet kind of runs on that as well, and it's maintained by like 3 people.
Yeah, and it was made in 87.
And so on and so forth. And it's all open source.
Yeah,
no one gets paid to do this.
Yeah. Yeah, so let that be a lesson to you, everyone being mean to your Reddit mods, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, it's serious labor that keeps the internet alive and afloat.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell
unless
you?
Unless you want to get backdoored?
Yeah.
You should show some respect to open source software. Hey guys, we want to take another quick break to thank another sponsor of today's episode, BetterHelp. Listen, my social battery is something I'm very cognizant of. And right now we just did 2 episodes, so I'm at about 5% right now, my social battery, which can be tough and exhausting sometimes. Listen, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves a little bit too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
What's the right amount of socializing for you? If it's Cody, 0. How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Therapy can be a great way to gain a larger understanding of yourself. It's not just for those who have experienced major traumas. You can learn positive coping skills, set boundaries, and it can empower you to be the best version of yourself.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/TMG today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/TMG.
So the job before Full Screen, I had a job before that. That was like my first real like dev job. Did I ever tell you the project that made me leave?
No.
It's kind of funny. So, the company I worked for like landed this big contract for like a AAA gaming developer. I don't want to say who it is, but an extremely recognizable game. So they were at a point where they were trying to take like a massive forum that included PSN logins, Xbox logins, and they're trying to port it to a new platform so that they could like essentially move all these users over and their like PC-based users into one big like gigantic web app. And the company I worked for promised to do this, I think in like, I don't know, like fucking 4 months or 5 months, something like not humanly possible with the team that we had. And then I was doing well at the job. My manager's like, I think you can handle this. And I'm like, me? She's like, yeah, you got it. And I'm like, okay. So I was kind of like, for a month, I'm kind of fucking off time because I'm not really processing the scope of what I have to do. And then like month 2 happens and I'm really getting into the meat of it and I'm starting to get like night sweats. I'm like, dude, I'm fired if I do this. There's no fucking way. And then I kind of start to like try to plug at it. It's using all of my brain power. And then I had like this life-changing conversation with like our senior like back-end developer. We're like sitting out on the patio of our company. And I look at him and I go, dude, if I see this through, I'm for sure fired. There's no way I can make this happen. And he goes, oh, no, you're fucked. And at this moment, that what motivated this conversation is I got a job offer for the job that I took before Full Screen. And so I was kind of like talking myself through it already. I'm like, dude, this project I'm on, this kind of feels like God talking to me. I need to hit eject because like the company is overpromised. If I'm going to be the fall guy, I can't do this. And so my senior back end dev is like, no, absolutely. Like, you're fucked. You need to take this job. It's literally your only path. Like, he's like, because if you stick around.
So
like,
wait, you left mid project?
Yes. Yes. But no one on my team was bothered by it because we were such a small team and I was able to talk to everyone and they all were kind of in agreement. Like, yeah, you need to get out of here. Like, they all had my back, basically. Because then
really
that,
funny.
That
would they give, were all like,
that would give them an
there's
out.
No physical way you can possibly succeed at this.
Yes. Yeah.
No, this is an impossible project.
Yeah. Well, because even they were saying, like, dude, it would take all of us to even try to make this work. One of my boys who, to this day, he'll always look at me and he'll be like, you're a fucking asshole.
For leaving?
Yeah, because even though I had the
Did
conversation.
Did they have to do it?
Yeah, he had to take it over. And so so I have a discussion with everybody and I'm like, all right, I'm out. So I take the job and I bail. So then I'm kind of laughing as I'm like, you know, taking my shit out of the building. Like, good luck, fuckers. And
that's, by the way, probably the best feeling in the world.
Oh, yeah.
But a little piece of you is like, oh, I'm an asshole.
No, I felt terrible.
But like walking out, like just wiping your hands clean of some hard ass shit.
No, it was horrible. It was like, it was terrible. I felt so bad for them, but they obviously, they were super supportive. They were like, get the fuck out of here. There's no way this would be good for you mentally or for your career or any of that. So yeah, wipe my hands clean. And so I leave. And then I'm kind of talking with my boys after. And that senior back-end dev, dude, he comes up with the craziest strategy. So the due date is coming up. They did like some work. They got like some of the database ported over. It had so many complications. So he comes up with this fucking insane idea where basically he tells my other friend, a front-end dev, he's like, all right, just build the front-end that was like pitched to them and sold to them. Just build it as much as you can. Like whatever, you know, account pages, landing pages, whatever you can make, just do what you can get done like in the next 4 weeks. And he's like, all right. Then my senior back-end dev creates this fucking crazy mechanism on the back-end where it basically spiders the entire old website like down to like nuanced detail. So anything in the new build that didn't work, it would go find it in the old website, like literally anything.
Okay.
So, but part of what, like, so he spiders some of the old site, and then like I think part of the site was just straight up gonna fucking die. So they had to like, I think they had to like scrape some of it and then preserve it in like hard HTML files. Maybe I'm misremembering that, but it was basically this crazy thing where he like essentially created a, like a popcorn muscle of a website where they sent it to the client and the client was like, okay, yeah, like this looks like it's working. Basically, they just had this busted front end that would, and so when something was wrong, it would just, you know, it would go fetch the old website and the client accepted it and they were like, yeah, great. And then shortly thereafter,
I think that's half of software projects, especially demos. It's just like a hard coded, everything's hard coded.
Yeah. Well, just, no, dude.
Or it's like a Figma. It's like nowadays it's like a Figma file. It's like doesn't even actually, there's no actual code.
Yeah, but bro, this was like the production like game.com build that they shipped.
Like, that's awesome. Everything is just a house of cards, man. And that's what this proves. Hey, sorry, your Otis just decided he wants to. What? No, it's fine. No worries. Wait, our changing station's right here, so.
Oh, we don't hear anything. Oh, well.
Oh, you don't hear that?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
get
okay,
to,
that's good.
Sorry, I was getting to the best part. shortly after that project, everyone got laid off.
Wait, what? No way.
It's not because of the build or any of the dev. I think just like it was just like a funny coincidence. But yeah.
So you were probably like, fuck, I made the right decision.
Oh, yeah. No, everyone was like, definitely made the right decision. But one of my boy who did the front end was like, you're a fucking asshole. He goes, but we were on hourly, so I got a fuck ton of overtime. So thank you. But also, fuck you. Yeah, man.
That's funny.
Dev stories. Wait, can I just...
Good times, man.
Sorry, I know that was like a lot of rambling, and maybe that wasn't... That probably wasn't interesting at all, but I just had to say one thing, all right? Someone last week, in response to my kind of coverage of the Drake Future verses, someone said, but isn't every rap song like that? I fuck your bitch. I fuck your hoe. And in theory, most popular rap music features some degree of, you know, bitch taking, all right? But I just have to clarify one thing. What made it different is the guy saying it is Mr. I just fucked your bitch in some Gucci flip-flops. And
yeah.
But I just feel this person doesn't understand the gravity. Like, this is a guy who just who made a hit record hours after fucking someone's wife, Scottie Pippen's wife, former NBA Bulls player alongside Jordan, Scottie Pippen.
Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know it was about someone specific.
Dude, yeah, he apparently recorded that after sleeping with Larsa Pippen.
Says who?
Look it up. Larsa Pippen, Future. Go to all. I'm pretty sure. Can you back out of this and
yeah, go to the Reddit threads maybe. Go back. Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Scottie Pippen's wife, Future. Fuck Scottie Pippen's wife. That's the myth. That's the myth. Right. You can't call this fact.
Yo, Chris Dorner is the profile picture. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's the myth. That Future walked in the studio after sleeping with Larsa Pippen.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yes.
Huh.
All right, so that's the guy smiling, going, got your girl in this bitch twirling on this dick. You know, you're just, again, you're screaming at the radio, she better not.
Yeah, okay. So that's the difference, is that other
rappers, it's just like...
Probably most, maybe, yeah, I would be comfortable saying most other rap songs, a guy goes in the studio, and if he's saying shit like that, I fucked your bitch, whatever, it's like he's just writing rap lyrics.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just for fun. Maybe he means it. Maybe it's inspired from a true place, you know, but it's, or maybe it's just what sounds good.
The Future is walking out of the room with the flip-flops, like he just did it. And he's walking out of the room and the engineer's sitting there with the microphone. He's like, you want to punch in? And Future's like, yeah, I guess we need to finish this verse or whatever. And what he's saying is his lived experience that just happened 5 seconds ago.
And I don't know if it's in the record, but every time I think of the line, I just fucked your bitch in some Gucci flip-flops, I hear ass clapping.
Yeah, I think it is.
Right? Did that Mandela effect into my mind? Or is that real? Like, I always hear, like, I just fuck you. Like, I hear.
I think that's in the song.
Right?
I'm pretty sure.
But I guess what I'm saying
maybe
is,
that's the, I don't know.
Yeah. Let it play. First of all, this beat is hard as nails.
Oh, I can't hear it now. Fuck.
It's fine. Okay, he's shaking the dirty Sprite.
Yeah, can you just explain it? Because I can't hear it. So just explain it for me.
He's shaking the dirty Sprite, and then he's like sucking his teeth. He's on
ice cubes, yeah. Yeah.
He's slurping it. This beat is evil, bro. It sounds like just hard and scary, bro.
There's soda, Spike Lee, white girl, iced tea, fully loaded AP.
He's just talking about himself. No, it's the snare. It's the snare, but it sounds like ass clapping.
Yeah, yeah, right, right.
That's how I always remember it. It's just like ass clapping with every syllable. Just.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah.
All
right,
so that's the guy who's saying, I got your girl in this bitch. Future's the kind of guy, people, if he starts rapping about locations, you need to go check your wife's Instagram and you need to cross-reference, you need to be scared, dude.
Oh, my God, that would be, you're like, wait. You're like listening to some song, you turn it up, you're like, yeah, fuck yeah. You're like, hold up.
How scared would you be, Cody?
He just said something about being in Miami.
No.
Wait, my wife was in Miami.
Cody, how scared would you be if Future got on a record and he's like, I'm in L.A. fucking bitches' wives at the bungalow. You'd be turning that shit up like, when? Hello?
The bungalow.
Future, hello? When? Future, please, when?
I'll be in L.A. fucking dudes' wives at the Brig in Venice.
What?
Wait, hold up.
Why the Brig? Why the Brig? Why were you there?
The Brig in Venice? That's so specific.
Why are you there? Please.
When was it?
You need to be afraid, dude. Go back and listen. Like, I'm telling you, if you're in a long relationship, go back and listen.
Taking dudes' wives out for breakfast at Great White. Oh, I love that place.
No, hold on. What were you doing?
Wait. But hold on. No.
Listen. If you have a spouse and you live near the Atlanta area, near the Miami area, near any major city, you need to go back through Future's catalog and start cross-referencing, man. You need to go back and listen, okay?
Hey, guys, another quick break to thank another sponsor of today's episode, Liquid Death. What is Liquid Death? Well, it may look like a beer or some crazy energy drink, but guess what? It's not. Liquid Death is actually a healthy beverage brand that makes mountain spring water, low-sugar sodas, and low-sugar iced teas as well.
Listen, I don't know if you've ever seen someone crack one of these open in a meeting or maybe seen a bunch of kids drinking them, thinking it was a beer. But in both scenarios, it is not. It's called Liquid Death because they're bringing death to single-use plastic bottles with their infinitely recyclable cans. Liquid Death also donates a portion of profits from every can sold to help kill plastic pollution.
Listen, plastic is bad, just in general. You can't recycle it. And also, microplastics are fucking real. Don't look into that because it's very, very scary and depressing. But just know, it's real. So drinking water out of a can is beneficial in many ways. Plus, it's just more refreshing, I think. Feels colder. It's better. Feels more natural. I don't know what it is. I like it. I love the sparkling water. That's my drink of choice from Liquid Death. But I mean, I also like the severed lime, the flavored sparkling water. Or I could go for some iced tea as well. Rest in peach flavor, perhaps. Very refreshing.
Oh, man, that rest in peach tastes so good. You can get free shipping on Liquid Death's Mountain Water flavored sparkling and iced tea 8-packs with Amazon Prime, or grab a can or a case at your local 7-Eleven, Target, Walmart, Whole Foods, or on Instacart. Go to liquiddeath.com/TMG to check out all their healthy, infinitely recyclable beverages and find your closest retailer. That's liquiddeath.com/TMG, liquiddeath.com/TMG. All right. That is unparalleled Riz, man.
That's really funny.
For the young guys, that's unparalleled Riz.
That's so funny.
Okay.
So funny thinking about a dude just turning up to it and then kind of double taking, you know?
Yeah.
Like double considering the lyrics and being like, wait, no. No. Wait, but no, she was on a bachelorette. No,
no, no,
no,
wait, no, 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 no,
no, no, no.
And then it's just all you see is Future's fucking face where he's just like,
yeah, yeah,
just that wry smile, bro.
Yeah,
yeah, man. I thought of that while I was driving because I said that I saw that comment and I said, bro, you don't know what you're talking about, dude. So yeah, that's,
man,
all
that shit was. I, by the way, I did listen to that song the whole way home.
Yeah,
with a new appreciation for it. Yeah. Truly.
Yeah, man,
you opened my eyes, man. You really did.
Yeah,
and I think we got to do more. I think we should make that a segment where you like break down lyrics, but like dramatically. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, I guess. I went back.
And I'll do the same thing. I'll do the same thing for you for house music.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Nah, yeah. Yeah, I went back and I fucking listened to the No Strings Attached NSYNC album.
Wait, what?
Cause we all know Bye Bye Bye.
Yeah.
And it's gonna be me.
Okay.
But I was thinking, I'm like, I don't know if I know this album in full.
Okay.
And so I went back and listened to it. And there, just cause, bro, I was like, history, man.
Okay.
It's just funny to look back.
In case it comes up in a convo, you want to be like educated.
No, not even. It was just like, I was just thinking contextually. Okay. I kind of thought about it like this. Back then, they're just pumping shit out for sales. There's no internet. You were kind of experiencing things in isolation. Maybe like your friends and your cousins were kind of into the same stuff, but you weren't having like larger conversations like the internet, right? So I was wondering how much of this just kind of got by without anyone thinking about it. Dude, there are some weird ass songs on this album.
Really? Like what?
Like weird as fuck. So
bro,
they put,
here we go. This is the second installment in the segment.
I mean, dude.
Noel's lyric breakdown.
Dude, so they put Bye 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 and It's Gonna Be Me as the first two, which I thought was interesting because modern albums now, they always put the singles, like the big ones, they put them at the back usually, or like in the middle. It depends, actually. I don't think there's a blanket statement for that. But I feel like hit songs are usually buried in the album now. Maybe that's wrong. But then the third song, Space Cowboy, first of all, it's got Left Eye from TLC, which is just wild.
Okay.
Pull up the lyrics for this, bro.
Like,
yeah.
What? Break it down.
They just like, there's a lot of references to like, okay, they bring up Jerusalem twice, which you don't.
Okay.
I don't know. It was just sort of unexpected for a pop song. And then,
okay.
Listen to this verse. This verse is crazy. Scroll down. Okay. We don't need all these prophecies telling us what's inside.
The hell?
Because paranoia ain't the way to live your life from day to day. It's like, yeah, so leave your doubts and fears behind. Don't be afraid at all. This is a song about like being a space cowboy. And maybe they wrote
space, there's no gravity to fall. Put your mind and your body to the test. Because up in outer space, it's like a wild, wild west. Oh.
This album
sounds like
a
conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, I know.
This. It sounds like Alex Jones wrote this verse.
Or like it was like a weird kids propaganda that would be anti-Alex Jones or something. It's like, we don't need prophecy.
Okay.
Or like maybe this, it's like anti-God. I don't know, bro. It's like weirdly.
No, it's anti mainstream media. That's what it is. Because paranoia ain't the way to live your life from day to day.
No,
so leave your doubts, leave your fears behind.
But we don't need all these prophecies.
Read that shit.
No, no, no. Okay, so it says we don't need all these prophecies. Then go to the top. Go to the top. Here comes millennia, and everyone's talking about Jerusalem. Like, what? That's the opening bar, dude. That's the
okay.
Opening
this is
line.
This, it's a cult. It's cult. That's this is what it is. It's culty.
To me, it just feels like it's anti-God or something.
Yeah, exactly. Because the real God is like on it. It's Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. Look at this. See, I've got my eyes on the skies, the heavenly bodies of light. I guess it's talking about space. Yeah, so whatever. This is released in 2000, so I don't know if this is some weird Y2K, post-Y2K inspiration, but this is the third song on the album, and it sounds weird. Like it.
Yeah, regardless of what you think about this means, like keep in mind this music is for children.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, their main demographic back then was me. It was fucking, I was 12 or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Like, what is it supposed to mean to a child?
I don't know, man. And then...
Dude, and hold on. One of the best parts about this is I just went and looked at the album on Spotify. Like, that song has 8 million streams. Songs 8 to 12 on this album have max 6 million streams. One of them has 3 million.
Yeah, so I'm saying a lot of these, I think, just like got by on people.
It's so funny that they're like one of the main bands of like the millennials generation.
Yeah.
And like that, like, you know, nowadays, like artists like Travis Scott, Post Malone, like every album, every song on their album in 10 years is going to have 500 million streams at least, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And I know Spotify hasn't been around forever, like, but still, like, if those, it's just crazy that those, those are just throwaway songs, you know?
Oh, there's plenty of garbage on this album. I can tell you that. So this was just hilarious that this is the third song, and it sounds weird as fuck. Sonically.
Okay.
It's weird. Okay. I don't know who it's for. So then go back to the track list. I think the other song, I think contextually, that's really crazy is Digital Get Down. I remembered that song. This song is about like they have like weird auto tune incorporated, and it's basically okay. About having cyber sex.
Digital Get Down,
or like, nice. And then like talk, and it's so funny because this was the first attempt at it, and then it made me think of Kiss Me Through the Phone by Soulja Boy. I'm like, God, that was better angle and such a smarter way to attack the same sort of premise. Yeah. But yeah, dude, this then this song, like, I don't know. This song is just it's just cringe. These lyrics, man. Baby, baby, we can do all that we want. We're getting nasty, nasty. We're getting freaky deaky. Just yeah, you know, just like keep that,
reading,
man.
The verse.
Yeah.
Every time, it's funny to read this just in a normal voice. Every time I'm sitting home alone, girl, I can't wait to get you on the phone, girl. So pick it up, babe. I can see everything you do, bouncing me from satellite to satellite. I love the things you do for me so late at night. You turn me on, babe. It's like I'm right there next to you. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Can we get connected? I need some love and affection, baby. I'll call you on the phone. I hope that I get through. If you're in the mood and I'm not home, here's what you do. Leave a message.
Dude, this is just a fucking husband texting his wife.
Yeah, you know the kind I like to get back.
They've been married for 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, hey, I'll call you on the phone. I hope I get through. And then maybe we can have some phone sex later if you're down.
Yeah, I just landed in Harrisburg.
Exactly. Hey, listen, when you put the kids to sleep later, if you're open to it, I'd love to have some phone sex.
I just landed in Harrisburg. Me and the guy's gonna hit Chili's, but then I'm staying in a different hotel, so I'll be all alone. Maybe get in some phone sex or something like that.
I see you on the screen. Let's get to freaking. I see you on the screen. I get to freaking. So this is about having sex on Skype, probably. Or what was like
no, the 2000. Video chat, so it was like AOL. I don't even think video chat was a thing. So it seems split between just straight up phone calls and cyber sex.
Pictures? Yeah, but how would you just pictures? I'm saying what you couldn't even video call back then, right?
No, bro. I'm talking
and they keep
like,
saying I see you on the screen. I get to freaking.
Yeah, yeah, maybe it was pictures. Because MSN, I think, maybe had web. Yeah, because it was Nokias. You couldn't... Maybe somebody... Like, when did the Razr come out? Yo, sending a dick pic on a Razr is hilarious, man.
Yeah, that's really funny.
You gotta... Dude, you gotta have a fucking trunk on you to get that through the 14-pixel camera. The sub-48p quality. Yeah, you gotta...
Yeah, everyone knows... You know, the pixels, the takeaway length, you know?
No, I mean, just like, you didn't have a lot of detail. So you couldn't...
Yeah, yeah, that's true, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
like what I'm saying is, bro, if you're not very wide, you're only going to get one or two pixels of width on the photo.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not a
it
lot
rounds
of...
down. The pixels round down.
Yeah, like, that shit is going to look like a fucking, like, cooked hot dog on camera. She's on the other side, like,
that's such a funny thought. Just a Minecraft penis.
She's like, is this a birthday candle? What the fuck is this?
Lol, what is this?
Is this nerd's rope? What is this? Is this a Twizzler? What is this? Is this an Airhead? What is this? Yeah, man.
So, yeah, this song is about sending dick pics on a Razr.
Yeah.
Got it. Now, how does this song sound?
Bad. They all sound really weird. And they so obviously are borrowing from, like, other artists and, like, R&B styles. It's just funny. There's a song on here that sounds like it was intended for Monica and Brandy, but then they just gave it to NSYNC.
Okay.
it's such a weird album. And it just made me laugh thinking people paid $20 for this just to hear the first two songs.
Bro, that their self-titled album in 1997, NSYNC.
Yeah.
Track number 13 has 1.8 million streams.
Maybe I'll go listen to that album on the way home.
You should. You absolutely should. We should break down the lyrics of Giddy Up. 1.8 million streams. Nobody gives a fuck about this song.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just really funny to think. Because people say albums are bloated now. It's like, just, you know, give the 13, 14 best. That's what they were doing back then. They were like, just put one or two on there. And put the other bullshit in there.
A couple hits and, you know. Yeah, put the Space Cowboy one on there. It's fucking, it's weird, but whatever. We need to take up some space.
And the budget for recording Space Cowboy was like $4 million. Jesus Christ, man. Yeah, NSYNC, Giddy Up. Got to giddy up like this. Come on, Just Drop. Got to giddy up.
It's funny to think that, like, this actually, even though Spotify wasn't around for a long time, this actually does matter how little streams these songs have, because big artists from the past, that's like the point of, like, I guess trying to make your music timeless, is that you can go back and sell your back catalog, because it's an asset. It'll forever generate royalties.
Yeah.
These like NSYNC couldn't do that because they have like five songs that are hits.
Yeah.
And the rest nobody gives a fuck about, which is kind of funny to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree. It's all ass. But
it's really funny.
Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah. Damn, they have a Christmas album.
Oh yeah, they do. That's one song they're printing off of.
For sure.
They have a fucking Christmas hit.
Oh yeah, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays.
Yeah.
Damn, they have multiple Christmas albums. They have one in 98.
Yeah.
And one in 2002.
Yeah, bro.
Well, all right, dude, in the bonus I got some fun stuff for you. Okay, I have a couple new guys of the week.
Uh-oh.
And this is, well, we might, I don't know. It's a, you know, it's basically in the line of Christianity again.
Uh-oh, you're going to get in trouble.
And I did want to end the episode with this Jack Harlow tweet that my friend just sent, which I thought was pretty funny. Tell me what you think of this.
Actresses, I love their minds, or should I say girl actor, respect. Oh yeah, this guy's had too much sex. He's speaking all cryptic and stuff.
No, that was in 2020, dude. That was like right as he was popping off.
Oh, well, even funnier. No, I think Jack is he's a funny guy. I think he knows what he's doing.
Oh, definitely. I just think this tweet is hilarious.
Yeah, actresses. I love their minds.
Or should I say girl actor? Respect.
I like to imagine that he's asking the public. Or should I say girl actor?
I actually don't know. Is it actress or girl actor?
I don't know. Respect. Oh yeah. Paris, Texas boys doing gazebo fest.
That's sick, man. We should do this. Have our own festival.
Yeah, let's just have a festival.
No, let's have one. Let's put one on.
Okay.
Let's have a festival.
All right. Who's going?
Why not?
Who's going?
Like who's performing or who's going?
Yeah. Yeah, who's performing?
I don't know. You have any ideas?
TMG Festival.
Yeah.
Sugar Ray headlining day two.
Well, actually, it'll just be all Christian rappers.
That'd be the ultimate, like,
full circle moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. We put on a festival with all the guys that got mad at us.
Let me say this. If we booked Lecrae, it would do numbers.
Who's Lecrae?
He's a Christian rapper, very popular.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Booked him, NF. I think NF's a Christian rapper. I don't know. We booked those guys. It's doing numbers. But anyways, guys, we'll see you in the bonus.
See you guys in the bonus.
Goodbye.
For more eyesight camera goodness. Goodbye.
This week on The Bone Zone.
Daddy broke sobriety last night.
You drink? Weed?
Mushrooms.
CS2.
Just trying to get my dick sucked.
Oh, really, Jacob? Huh.
Yeah.
Harley, no. Sit down. Sit down. Let me tell you something.
Okay, well, I forgot that verse. I just...
Watch the full episode by signing up for a membership at tmgstudios.tv.